Oh, baby. Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. It is a very hot and disgusting and muggy Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. Hope you guys are doing well wherever you are. Whenever this reaches your ears, thank you very much for listening. I want to say a special thank you, as we always do, to our Patreon listeners, but I want to also welcome any new listeners as well, and thank you for taking some time out to check out the podcast, and an extra special shout out to everybody who's sharing it and putting it on their social media, wherever it is. As you guys know, my social media presence is very limited. That's by choice, and it also does make marketing the podcast exponentially more difficult. So if you're out there and you're able and you got like a couple of minutes while you're sitting around listening to the pod, share it to your socials, post it, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever platforms you're on. I would really appreciate it. And it would definitely raise the visibility. I noticed that recently podcast numbers have dropped, and I think I'm going to attribute that to, hey man, it's summertime. People are feeling themselves, getting outside, maybe getting a little bit of R&R. They're not as plugged in, and they're like not listening to as many podcasts. We went through spring break. Now we're going into the summer months where kids are going to be out of school and whatnot. The music festivals are kicking up. Convention season is going. And just a reminder, if you don't listen to every podcast, that's okay. That's fine. If you're just going back through the backlog and catching up, also awesome too. I just wanted you to know that I appreciate anybody listening and that it does help. And I'm pushing to find a new way to market the podcast so it reaches more ears and you don't have to do as much of the legwork. I really do appreciate it, though. Thank you for everything that you do in every way that you feel is reasonable, such as those folks who are supporting us over on Patreon. Thank you very much there. I know you've been very patiently waiting for episodes to come out. We've had some snags. One of the worst ones was kind of my fault. I accidentally moved some files around when I was using my digital audio workshop thingy. And it's been a struggle. Now, in the recent weeks, over the last week, it got a little bit easier. But I still need to go ahead and fix all those minor issues so I can get back to podcasting on a more consistent basis. And then, have fewer issues going forward, uploading things and, getting into the studio to do work and stuff. So, that's to say, all those episodes are coming. Lots of crazy stuff. We got a Dream Theater coming up. I'm going to do the media reviews. And since I'm not doing a movie night this week, we were going to do one yesterday. Usually we do them on Tuesdays or Thursdays. But both my homie and I have had like a little bit of craziness with family and, friends coming into town and whatnot. Like I told you guys, my daughter and her friend came through. My stepdaughter and her friend came through this past weekend to hang out intermittently while they were checking out a music festival. And so when they were here, we were mostly focused on hanging out with friends and family. So things got a little bit pushed back. But this Thursday, ain't nothing going on but the rent. So I'm going to go ahead and record those episodes this Thursday so that you can have them by the weekend and put out some more stuff and read some emails, of which we have one, and hopefully we can help our listener with some advice we're going to do that about midway through the podcast. I'm trying to shoot for keeping this a little bit shorter than the last couple. They've run a little long, but so much wild stuff keeps happening. Yeah, it's just getting ridiculous out there. Goodness. And, I'll tell you when it got ridiculous, where it got ridiculous for me today was I had intended on just running a couple quick errands. Grab some breakfast stuff and some lunch stuff for the missus. I needed to grab some stuff for the house. And I don't know what it is about. What it makes me think of every time I get in the car and I'm driving somewhere and somebody does some dickhead move in front of me or like trying to challenge me or whatever in this Mustang that I'm driving around. It makes me think of the intro to the original Bad Boys film with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, where like they get carjacked essentially while they're off, they're on duty. And he goes, and he's like, I'm trying to remember Martin Lawrence's exact line. He's like, I just hang out with stupid ass friends who drive stupid ass cars that attract a lot of motherfucking attention. And I think that that's what happens when people see the Mustang coming down the street. Like, their initial impulse is, I'm going to race it. And I'm like, please don't. Please don't. I'm trying to obey the rules of the road just like every other reasonable driver out here. And it didn't become more apparent than today when I was trying to make a lane change so I could make my next turn. And I just needed to get over. There's not a lot of running room for this. I mean, I've got maybe... I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's not. I mean, I've got maybe 300 yards to get from this stoplight to the next stoplight and get over. More than enough time if people aren't being assholes. But this dickhead in a red Kia, and I wish I could find this person and just I should have put like a podcast business card on their windshield when I found where they were driving, just so they could listen to this, so they could hear me talk shit about them. I'm trying to get over. I put my flashers on. I've got at least a car length and a half between me and him. So I'm trying to not trying to outrun him. I'm just trying to let him know, hey, I need to get over. And this asshole stomps on the gas to pull up right next to me. And I'm like, oh, okay. I have enough space behind myself and he has enough space behind him that I could tap the brake a little bit, drop speed, zip in right behind him. And now I'm on his ass. And it's like, you got to remember this. When you do dickhead stuff to people, like cutting them off in traffic or whatever, or blocking them from making a lane change, they don't just go away. And, there's a movie about this with Russell Crowe where some lady does some kind of dickhead maneuver to him and he takes it real personal. He's obviously got some other stuff going on in his life. I'm not going to spoil the movie for you. It's a crazy movie to watch. I started watching it. I got halfway through it. I'm like, I had to turn this off because I feel like I could end up being this dude one day. But, those people don't just evaporate. They're still there on the road. And you never know when you might meet somebody who's just a little unhinged. They're not quite in their right state of mind. And you think, ha, 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 I got one over on you. I'm like, I could have just decided whatever I got in my car, it could wait. Like, I was grocery shopping today. I got eggs. You know what I mean? I've got, like, sour cream dip for snacks for this weekend. All that shit can spoil. I'll take it all back to the grocery store. Today, you can be my only priority. Like, this could just be my day. And I don't have to do anything except follow you around. Like, what are you doing? Oh, there's stuff over here I wanted to check out too. You know, why are you at my house? I was driving through the neighborhood and I saw the flowers out front. They're really nice. What kind are they? See, what you can't see is me just sitting there staring at him with this really blank expression. Like, I don't have anything else to do right now. I've made you my entire priority for this whole day. It's just going to be me. I hope you had no plans because we are going to hang out now. But when he turned, he ended up going, when I got behind him, it turned out that he was actually turning in the same direction I was going to turn. So when his flashers went on, I waited just enough seconds for him to think like, he's just going to go right past me. Then I turned mine on and jumped right, like swung right behind him. And now you can kind of feel the hair on the back of someone's neck stand up when they're like, oh, shit. Because when he got up to the corner, he thought when he got up like in that turn lane to turn right, he thought he was, I'm like, I'll just drive right past him. I'm like, nope. I'm like, you don't know that I'm not going to chase you down. But because you don't know that, I can make it look like I'm going to. And I don't know if he had other people in the car with him. It seemed like there were. The windows were fairly tinted and I couldn't quite see. But it seemed like he had like other people in the car with him. So when I got behind him to turn right, he stomped the gas to get away from me. And I'm like, huh, oh, Kia, no, no, Kia man. This a Mustang, baby. Wherever you go, I go. And then I got right behind him just... The best thing about a Mustang is if you're pissing me off and you think you're trying to get away from me because you're like, oh shit, this person's angry. The thing you get to hear behind you is, and then as it catches up to you real quick, you're like, ah, shit. It's like, you can only go but so fast on this road safely. If you go any faster, you're going to go off the side of the bank or whatever. But then they get right up to where I would make my turn. I was going to make another turn to get like to go home. And I got right behind them and I didn't go anywhere. I did like, you know, because they were at a red light. I'm like, I can't go through them because I had to wait for my chance to get into the intersection. But while I'm sitting behind him, I just put the car in a neutral, keep my foot on the gas. And the light, it feels like the lights at Indy or whatever, or like a drag race. You know, beep, 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 beep. But right from behind him, I'm like, just feathering the gas just enough. Just, and you can see this dude, you can see his head like swinging back and forth, like, what the fuck? And whoever, and he had at least one person in the car because he's like looking over at the passenger seat. And they were probably like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Now they're chasing us down. He's like, oh. When the light turned green, I just sat there for a half a second because there was no one behind me. And then I went, put it in the drive and then turned my blinkers on. But he took off. If he could have driven through the cars in front of him, he would have. Because when he came off the line, he goes, I'm like, you gonna think twice before you do this shit to somebody else, motherfucker. Just remember, you don't know who you're fucking with. You never know. And somebody could be like, well, Link, that could be said true. The same thing could be said to that guy. I'm like, true. I don't. But I knew I had an idea. I knew that I had some kind of, you know, very weak-willed, I'm going to try to assert my power over somebody guy who would want to cut me off just for the audacity of being slightly ahead of him and in a nicer car. I was just trying to go home. I had a podcast to do. I had eggs and, you know, sour cream dip I wanted to get in the refrigerator and a side of ribs I wanted to cook for the wife this weekend. But now none of that matters. None of that matters in this moment. Now you have become my plaything. And the fun part about it is I didn't do anything illegal. I made him sweat a little bit more. You know what I mean? He definitely had to change deodorant when he got home. But now I'm like, now I'm in your head. Now he's like, oh, fuck, fuck, fuck. What did I do that for? Yeah, you're going to think about that shit next time, won't you? And especially next time you see a red Mustang, you'll be like, ah, fuck, he found me again. I pray. Because that's not the only red Mustang that exists in this area. And there's a Ford dealership right down the road. So I know there's at least a couple dozen probably in the area. I hope that every time he saw a red Mustang, like a little pee came out. I just wanted him to look and see him be like, is this the guy? Is this the guy? Oh my God, it's not the guy. Oh my God, it's not the guy. Is it mean? Eh, maybe, but fuck him. That's what you get for being an asshole. All you had to do is just, hey, I have my flashers on in front of you. Just don't be a dickhead. He didn't have to accelerate. He didn't even have to, like, you know, brake or anything like that. You could just let your foot off the gas, and in 4 seconds, I would have been far enough ahead of you that I could have made a safe lane exchange. But instead, he chose to accelerate and get in front of me. I'm like, if I needed to get over right now and I thought I was safe and you pulled up right behind me, we could have gotten into an accident. And if I have to slow down to get behind you or I have to accelerate to get in front of you, now I'm breaking the law or I'm risking somebody else having to make a quick lane change or, you know, stomp on their brakes, which means I could cause an accident. Just don't be a dickhead. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to be like, hey, I will get to the same place I'm going, maybe just 3 seconds slower. Maybe. And if you're behind me, you're probably getting there faster. I'll be your blocker if you want me to, but that guy, I sincerely hope that like every time he saw a Mustang for the rest of this week, like a little bit of pee comes out. And I had to stop and check because I wanted to remember it. It made me think of that that scene from The Green Mile when was it C.O. Wetmore gets grabbed by Billy the Kid and he gets scared and he pees on himself. And the one convict with the mouse, Wetmore sound like a good name for you. Look at Percy Wetmore do a dance. Listen to him squishing in his pants. I hope that happens. Dude's like, oh, skeet. Just a little pee came out. Like Steve Harvey when the monkeys tried to grab him. The monkey smelled the pee. I know. It's not nice. I don't care. Fuck that guy. He's a dick. Anyway, so that's my fun for this morning. that was beautiful. Little pussy whip more do a dance. Listen to him squishing in his pants. Somebody put their hands on him. He made water in his pants like a little baby.
If you haven't seen The Green Mile, one, it's a fantastic film. And then two, the performances in it are absolutely top notch. that's one of my favorite scenes in the entire fucking film. It's a very tense and a very awkward scene, but it's actually hilarious just because homeboy just drills Percy Whitmore for it, and it's awesome. Anyway, gosh, I'm just looking around at how like incredibly hot it is. I know I told you guys that we're trying to attempt to grow onions. I want to try to attempt to grow some tomatoes as well. But the biggest issue that I've got as of right now is that I need space. I need some space to put these plants to kind of keep them from one being destroyed by, you know, critters or insects or whatever. And then two, to keep them from getting destroyed by the insane heat that can happen in Florida. And I'm halfway tempted to try to build like some kind of maybe hydroponic system in the garage, or like maybe like a multi-tiered like basket system, so I can put some of the stuff into bins and slide them in and out as need be when I need to, like, you know, water or, you know, mulch or something like that. Not mulch, but like water, or change soil, or add fertilizer, or, you know, harvest crops or whatever. But yeah, I went and grabbed a couple of small bins that I could use for, you know, individual plants. One, I got two small ones for herbs, so I'm going to try to grow my own herbs. And then two larger ones, one for compost and one for like my onions, at least to try that out and see if it'll work. I think I could pull it off. It's going to take a little bit of effort and some ingenuity to try to make it work the way I hope it will. But I'm curious about it because, as you've seen, you guys have eyes, you've been to the grocery store before. You know that the prices are going up on everything while the quality of goods is going down. Largely because we eliminated a significant chunk of our illegal labor source. And by illegal, I don't mean the people who are here illegally. I mean illegal as in the way that we've treated these people is illegal. And at the very least, it's immoral. So by scaring away like the majority of the very cheap and overexploited labor force that we used as a country to produce the crops that we eat and rely upon on a daily basis, yep, shot ourselves in the foot. So if you know somebody, MAGA, clap your hands. You can thank them for the prices on these lands. Everything is costing so much more. Like, I mean, just tomatoes, onions, gasoline, obviously, thanks to, you know, President Orange Julius Caesar. Yeah, it's crazy. So I'm thinking I'm going to try growing some of this stuff at the house. I have a buddy, shout out to my boy Dave, David, who actually grows like peppers and stuff. I need to get up with him at some point to get him some of this habanero bacon jam that I want to make. But I'm going to start doing some more stuff like that, just to get some crops moving. Go back and put a little bit of side hustle up on some stuff. And then, you know, it'll be nice to actually see what I'm able to produce on a small scale in a way that may make sense and also, you know, provides a little something for the fam. So follow me on my composting journey. That's the other thing I'm working on. I have to build a compost bin. And I haven't done that in a very, very, very long time. And I'm not 100% sure I'm doing it right. But I'm going to learn. I'm going to give progress reports as I get through it. So I guess technically this would... It is actually more like week three, but we're going to call it week one. Week one of the composting journey, because I have a little bin. It's a little tiny little wash bin that I started. But now I have a larger, like 14-gallon bin that I can put all that stuff in and kind of work things around. And we'll see how it goes from here. We'll see how it goes. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm kind of ready to leave Florida and the United States, because it seems like nothing we do is working. And when we try to like get things on a decent track, there's always somebody who's going to be like the crab in the bucket. Want to pull you backwards and pull you down. There are fun things that are happening, though. There are some fun things that are happening out there in the world. We're going to talk about the good and the bad. I think I've also found that, like, sometimes when I skip away from, when I steer away from some of the political stuff and go more gaming kind of stuff, people kind of tune out. I don't know if that's true or not. It just seems like that's been the case over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I want to get, you know, steer into that too. We're going to also go and do another Spanish and Korean word of the week. And just basically me being grateful for you guys. So I'm going to, we're going to work on thank you. Everybody pretty much knows gracias is Spanish for thank you. And Korean is a little different, obviously. But 감사합니다. 감사합니다 is how you say thank you in Korean. Now, I might, my pronunciation might be a little off. There's people I knew that spoke Korean for years and years ago when I was in high school. The way I'd hear them speak it versus the way I hear it in television and movies seems like it's a little different. I did notice one thing that, like, sometimes depending on where a certain character is in a word in Korean, it can have like a slight K sound, like you hear "감사합니다," or it can have like a G sound, like "go." And so it's kind of hard for me to know exactly which one's which, especially since I don't really read Korean, but I'm trying to learn. But yeah, we're going to go with thank you as my way of saying thank you to each and every one of you. Gracias. 감사합니다. Arigato gozaimashita. Yeah, that's at least a couple of them. And you got a little bonus Japanese word in there too. How about that? So yeah, give that a spin. If you got any ideas, go to the patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and send me an email. And we're going to read an email here in about, you know, 10 minutes or so. I'm going to see if I can throw one of these for you and throw a little commentary and ideas your way. So stick around for that. I'm sure we'll have a good time. So, yeah, plenty of, like I said, plenty of weirdness and whatnot. I mean, we've already talked about the quote-unquote assassination. But the more that comes out about it, the funnier and more, like, the funnier it is that they're trying to sell this as a real thing, and the more I'm really convinced that they've kind of like wagged the dog for us on this one, and it isn't what we thought it was. There's been some other video and reports that have come out lately where they say that, like, one, that the shooter never actually made it into the ballroom, and was, like, apprehended before they could make their way inside. I mean, we've already talked about how dude just basically sprinted right past security. With zero effort, like didn't break a sweat. One of the more interesting views that I saw was of footage that happens like just beforehand. Now, again, the hardest thing about some of this footage is they say that the initial camera footage was really grainy, but then they used, I don't know what, either they had like HD camera footage that was available, but the funky thing about a lot of camera systems, and I don't think a lot of people know about this, it depends on where you're at and how elaborate their security systems are. Sometimes they use VHS tapes still, you know, like, or even digital recording tapes, and they set them on phases. So, like, each camera will record a certain set of images it out of phase, like microseconds at a time. So, and they'll just all fire at different microseconds, you know. And so you get like a full image, but when it's all put together, it looks a little choppy, can be a little grainy. But it's essentially just taking, you know, like any other camera, taking like a series of little pictures. But sometimes when you have to scrub through all that footage, it takes a while for it to be collated and put together so it can flow smoothly. One of the things I saw looked like it may have had some kind of, I don't know the right terminology for it, but it almost looked like they had an in-betweener work on it. It's like an animation thing, right? So there's like the main cells of animation that you use to draw a pose or, you know, show an action or whatever. And then there are all the little parts in between that have to move and look like, they have to be drawn in such a way that it makes it look like a thing is moving. One of the crazier things about this particular set of images was that they actually showed the guy walking into a closet with something slung over his shoulder, and a Secret Service agent actually stops him at one point and talks to him while he's inside this closet. And allegedly, this is the thing, allegedly he went in there, assembled this shotgun, and then from there sprinted past the checkpoint that's focused, that the cameras are focused on. If that's the case, he's the fastest hands in the West. Because he went from zero assembled shotgun to fully assembled shotgun in the space of about 3 to in about 3 to 3.5 seconds. Because from the time the agent turns away from talking to him to like leave him alone in the closet to the time he comes out with the shotgun is about that long. So either he had it fully assembled in his on his person, or he had it like mostly assembled and then just snapped two pieces, like the receiver and the barrel or whatever, together, and then took off running. Which conceivably that could work, but where did he have it? You know what I mean? Did he have, I mean, is it in his, was it tucked in his back? Was it, you know, slung over his shoulder and in his back? Was it down his leg? Did he have it in his sleeve? How did he get it together so fast and then fly around that corner and nobody touched him? Nobody. Not any one person was like, hey, this is a security checkpoint. The homie Josh Johnson, who, if you never followed Josh Johnson or seen any of his comedy, was talking about this. And he said, like, he's like, the dude was like anime fast. Like, and it is funny if you watch the footage and don't think about the tragedy behind it, but just look at how bananas it is that he managed to run past like 7 or 8 armed Secret Service agents with a shotgun. Yeah, it was like, seriously, like it was like Naruto run style. Like, you know, it was like he said, I think Josh said it was Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, and Dragon Ball Z combined, because he was like, almost looked like his legs were just moving at an accelerated pace. And like, almost looked like he was halfway standing still, but he was zooming. Like, he took off. He also said another funny thing. If you haven't seen Josh Johnson stand up over the last couple weeks, I recommend you go check him out. He did say that President Trump is wearing his Secret Service out, because he talks like a. He said he has real "my boyfriend knows karate" energy. He's like, you ever met that one girl in the bar who wants to talk shit to everybody? She's like, my boyfriend's a cop, he'll beat your ass. And then you come out of the bathroom and you have no idea you're about to walk into a fist fight. He's like, that's how Trump treats his Secret Service, because he talks so much wild shit that if people want to try to kill him, they're just like, we can't keep up with this. you're ruining us, man. We can't handle all this craziness. Yeah, the stuff around the shooters, absolutely amazing. It's intriguing to me. I've heard the snippets of his manifesto. I want to find more of it. I want to find the entirety of it so I can read it and be like, who wrote this? It sounds like Kash Patel wrote it. Or somebody in the FBI said, it sounds like somebody had beef with the administration, because one of the things that Josh mentioned was that Kash Patel is mentioned nowhere in this. There's so many other people who are mentioned on the list, didn't mention Kash Patel not once. I'm like, huh, really? The director of the FBI. And the joke was, you know, you have to watch Josh Johnson's take on it. It's great. But like, it's funny that that happened. One of the things I did get about the whole idea of, well, the whole, you know, debacle behind this assassination attempt, in quotes, is that the assassin's team is actually trying a new strategy. They're trying to actually have Jeanine Pirro, who is currently our attorney general, and Todd Blanche, who I believe is, what is Todd Blanche's thing? Is he the running DHS? No, that's Mark Wayne. Todd Blanche is in charge of some shit and legal, but they're trying to have, anyway, no, he's head of the Department of Justice. There we go. So yeah, and they want to have Jeanine Pirro and Todd Blanche recuse themselves because they're claiming that, you know, according to the manifesto, they were potential targets and that could bias them in terms of prosecuting, you know, this this case, which is an interesting tack to take. It presents an opportunity for some interesting legal strategy, I would imagine, especially considering that the shooter never made it into the main ballroom. You know, they're like, well, I mean, if he never made it there and he was saying he was going to target all these people, and they don't want to recuse themselves, why? If we're looking to operate under the interest of fairness and justice, you're really painting a negative light on this. You know what I mean? My thing is, if he never made it into the ballroom and he was apprehended before he could actually fire any shots into the, you know, at anyone in the administration, let's just put it that way, who's he really trying to attack? Is it actually an assassination attempt if he didn't even get, like, I mean, at least in the Pennsylvania attack, also in quotes, like, you know, it looked like somebody shot at him, you know? And then again, you know, the the attempted attack outside of his golf course where a dude was just lurking around the bushes with the shotgun. It seems like a lot of these people are either woefully unprepared or highly overprepared and didn't really do shit. Like, they're just kind of sitting there, like, waiting for somebody to jump out at them. And that seems like a plant. And that seems like, why are you trying so hard to be a victim? When you're trying to project this image of strength, it doesn't really go well for you if everybody's trying to kill you. You know what I mean? You're trying to talk about how great you're doing. If you're doing such a wonderful job, then why are so many people trying to kill you? This is one of the reasons why I'm not in the White House press pool, by the way, because I would ask a common sense question like that. And you're a very nasty person. You're a low IQ person. My thing would just be, the first time he called me low IQ, I'm like, just say nigger. That's what you want to say. That's what you say when you say that, you saying that without saying it. Like, what you really want to say, if you call somebody low IQ, DEI, or a thug, you want to say nigger, but you're just too much of a pussy to say it. Because, you know, if it weren't for Secret Service, I'd beat your ass. And even with the Secret Service, I seen what that dude did. I could probably get past him just as fast. Like, you don't really want it with me. And you don't really want it with anybody who could do anything to you. You know what I mean? That's why you talk a lot of shit. Because you can. You know what I mean? Like, Trump was always kind of a dickhead. He was always wild and loud. But you never saw him be this brazen in public life ever towards anybody. Because he knew that somebody could touch him. You know what I mean? You don't have the weight of the Secret Service behind you to keep you from getting somebody, keeping somebody from jumping on your ass. Now that you got it, you're like, I'll talk all the shit I want. Again, like, my boyfriend knows karate energy. Like, that's really some whack shit right there. And I think that's one of the reasons why the White House press pool can't really be trusted, because a lot of them are either sycophants who are just there to get a quote and, you know, spin it for One America or Fox News or Newsmax or whatever the fuck. Or they're kind of feckless in the first place. And the only reason they're there is just because they have to be. They're not going to ask any hard-hitting questions, really. They're just going to do just enough to get the quotes and hear what weird shit he says and then go home. No one's actually trying to challenge him on any points of policy anymore. I think they've kind of given up because I think we've already figured out he doesn't know shit. But that's one of the reasons why I couldn't be on the White House press corps. But, I mean, I would love to be. It would be amazing. It would be really fun. I would have a lot of fun with it anyway. But then again, I'd have questions for all this stuff. Like, what's up with this 22-foot gold-plated statue that you have at Mar-a-Lago? Why do you have a pastor praying over it and saying, oh, it's not a golden calf? Well, it doesn't look like a calf, but it sure looks like an idol to me. And the fact that, like, nobody, it seems like, on the evangelical or conservative Christian right is bothering to speak up about this. And, like, again, you got a pastor come and pray over the statue. Like, as a blessing. I mean, I would ask them, like, why do you want to repeal the federal gas tax? It's only 18 cents or 18.5 cents. That's going to do nothing to the fact that gas has gone up almost a full dollar since you started dicking around with Iran. Why are we not talking about that? Ask any of your MAGA friends, if you got any MAGA friends or family, ask them, what do you think an 18 cent decrease a federal gas tax is going to do for your overall gas bill when the price has gone up almost a full dollar? 18 cents? You ain't got 18 cents? You might not have a dollar, but you can trip over two dimes in the street. But that's your man's, right? That's your guy? Everywhere they go, there's always some kind of new stupid shit that's going on. Ask them about Trump Mobile. That's a fun one. Trump Mobile is on some extra stupid shit, and the people who paid for it, they deserve everything they're about to not get. This is a hilarious story, by the way, if you haven't heard about Trump Mobile. Remember he was talking about putting these Trump phones out there, and they were going to offer their own service, they were going to offer their own cell service, despite having no cellular infrastructure built on or able to really be functional, or marketable. That's what I meant. I meant functional and marketable. But in their contract, they even say, like, hey, we basically said, we're taking your money, but we don't know if and or when we're actually going to make this phone available. And you also can't get mad at us if we don't give you a refund, because we're telling you we don't know if we're actually going to do it. And now people are out hundreds of dollars. some cases more, because some people are buying multiple phones so they can give them to friends and family. And again, like I said, a fool and their money are soon parted. But I'd ask him about Trump Mobile. Like, hey, what's up with that? What are your sons scheming on right here? Somebody else mentioned that, like, Trump has made enough money just with the crypto schemes alone that he doesn't need to continue grifting, but that's kind of what a grifter does. Like, they can't help themselves. It's like a gambler or a crackhead. They can't get enough. Like, one taste ain't quite enough. It is funny to watch that kind of mentality. It's not only in the South. I mean, I just live in the South, so I could speak to what I see around here. But I'll tell you right now, the South is not going to rise again until they realize that they just got lied to. And all this shit with the rebel flag flying and the chest thumping and the don't tread on me and your truck nuts. Like, it's funny that you want to do gender-affirming surgery to your truck, but you don't want a human being to be able to have access to it. But then at the same time, you don't have any problem with, like, the, you know, guys doing face maxing, like looks maxing, breaking their face bones and shit. You have no problem with women getting lip injections and fake tits so they can have the Mar-a-Lago makeover. You don't mind any of that. That's all gender-affirming surgery, by the way. That's what that means. It's to make them look more like a more attractive version of the gender that they ascribe to. You don't have a problem with Viagra. I mean, so, but why do you have a problem with this? Why do you have a problem with this? Is it because you just want it to happen for the weird way that you fuck? Is that what's up? That's really gross and super weird that you're so invested in other people's bedroom behaviors that you just can't help yourself. And you just have to dig in them. I've never understood that. It's probably one of the grosser things about this whole, like, ultra-conservative MAGA movement is just how invested they are in the personal and private lives of other people, but you can't bother to shine a light on theirs. We're not going to investigate, you know, any of the we're not going to talk about the assassination attempt. We're not going to talk about, you know, the scandals that are constantly coming in and out of your White House. I'm not gonna mention those. Okay, gotcha. We're not gonna talk about the gerrymandering bills that you guys are trying to push all around the country that are winning. They are winning, by the way, which is dumb. But you got people like, you know, two Tennessee representatives. These dudes, the Justins, I love them. I love them. I love them. I would love to meet the two of them. Tennessee Representative Justin Jones had a printed out image of the Confederate flag and burned it in protest of the gerrymandering of Tennessee's congressional districting map, which literally eliminated the only democratically focused district in that area, in that state. And then Representative Justin Pearson. Justin Pearson's my dude. I love Justin. I love them both. Justin Jones, you'll probably recognize him. He has very fine, like almost almond-shaped eyes, and he almost always wears his hair in cornrows. Justin Pearson, on the other hand, has very dark glass, like dark-rimmed, like think Malcolm X-style glasses and a giant natural afro. He's just a cool-looking cat. But he cussed out a Tennessee Highway Patrol officer on camera who tried to remove one of his cabinet members or something like that, or one of his associates. And the dude got up in Justin Pearson's face and he said, "Boy," I think the officer, it's hard to hear because the audio is kind of muddied because everybody's pushing and shoving and everything and yelling. And Justin Pearson turns around to him. He's like, because he keeps telling the guy to get his hands off of him. And he goes, "Boy, are you out your fucking mind?" I'm like, "Ooh. He put the full Samuel L. Jackson F on that one, boy. Touch me, motherfucker." I'm like, "Oh," he called him a motherfucker. I was like, "Ooh, I want to vote for him, and I don't even live in Tennessee." Man, I gotta find that video. He cussed this boy out. And it's so crazy. He has a photo of him, too, staring down the sergeant at arms, the prick. That kept him out of the voting against this fucking redistricting gerrymandered ass map. That photo is going off, by the way. It's going super viral, and I'm super proud of both of those young men. God bless you, gentlemen. God bless you both. You're doing the Lord's work. And again, the homie Reese Waters talked about this. I have said this for a long time now, particularly in regards to Florida, because I live here, but to the SEC in general. It's well past time for us to start boycotting some sports. Boycott the SEC, particularly because, you know, in even the NFL, a lot of people buy season tickets, so they're kind of locked in. You know what I mean? But boycott some of this stuff, man. Don't even, you don't have to go to the games, which, because that means you won't be buying concessions. You won't be paying for parking. You know what I mean? You won't be buying any souvenirs. Just don't go. Be like, hey, you know what? Fuck that. If I want to see it, I'll watch it on YouTube or watch it on TV or whatever. Only when it's free. I'm not paying for no NFL package from YouTube. I'm not waiting for y'all to finally realize, you know, 6 weeks into the season that nobody wants to pay for it. So you have to drop the price down from its astronomical $380 for the fucking year to, like, you know, it was the last time they did it, they had to drop it like 67%. It was like $110 or like, I think it was like $80 by the time they got to like week 12. They're like, please, please buy the NFL season pass. But just be like, no. No. We don't watch your games. We don't buy your merch. We don't sit in your stadiums. We don't attend your schools. Our kids won't go. If they were promised to go to your school, we're pulling that promise. We're going somewhere else. Just boycott the SEC. Once that kind of money stops flowing into a state's economy, they're going to have to really rethink the way that they operate. It is at a certain point, it's going to be, I mean, we've said it already, being a racially bigoted person in this country is getting real expensive. It's going to get real painful for a lot of people too. Like, how long can you continue to be racist to the point where, like, it affects your pockets? Your family can't eat. You got to fucking get a second mortgage on your house to try to pay your bills. You got to, you know, refi something so you can, you know, you're going to have to do all this crazy financial maneuvering just because your bigotry is such a thing for you that you're willing to set your life on fire. I'll watch you burn. I'll watch you burn. I'll fan the flames while you do it. I'm just telling you, there's definitely a better way, and you should probably choose that instead. But for real, we should boycott the SEC, boycott NFL, boycott MLB, NBA, whatever fuck, wherever black people and black and brown people are being profited on for their entertainment, like, boycott that shit. Don't watch it. Like, you can't have my money, you can't have my views, you can't have my attention because you don't give a fuck about me. Yeah, I'm well over it by now, by the way, if you haven't guessed already. I do think it's funny that some of this stuff is, like, spiraling out of control. Ashley St. Clair, who some of you may remember as Elon Musk's most recent baby mama, has out here is dropping entire... She's doing her own version of the Boston Tea Party, dropping crates on these motherfuckers, man. Like, the way she talks about how Turning Point USA has set up their whole youth propagandist machine and the way that they've set up donations so they don't actually have to count them as political contributions. There's another level of grift that they use. They're like, oh yeah, well, this isn't a political thing. These are just donations to, like, a student agency. Word? And the same thing with, like, Trump Mobile, like, talk about how, like, they run this thing up, they grab all the money, they scam the people out of it, and then they close the company because, you know, oh, well, we had to go bankrupt because this didn't happen. They were going to sue us. They filed for bankruptcy, so the company, it doesn't exist anymore, but they get to keep all the money, which there's got to be a way around this. There's got to be somebody with more legal and financial acumen than I have that can go into, like, how this can't continue to happen and why they should be in prison for it right now. Like, there has to be somebody out there that can pull that off, and I hope that somebody does. But, I mean, all their ugliness is coming right back on them, you know? I mean, you see the stuff like the White House app, it's tracking people's location. Because, of course, apps are doing that, right? But it's weird that the White House app has to know your location. For what? Why? Why do you need that information? What are you doing with it? Just like any other app, right? Why do you need to know where my location is? All you need to know is what the fuck I'm trying to do with this app. That's it. You know? The constant waving and flapping and flying around of, like, oh, don't pay attention to this, don't pay attention to that. You know, like the media drumming up this hantavirus scare. I'm not saying that hantavirus isn't a problem. But then when like so many people are saying like, hey, it's not that big a deal. As long as we're keeping eyes on the people who are infected, we can figure it out. There are going to be cases that pop up, but one, the incubation rate is forever in a day. So that's the only, the scariest thing about it is it takes so long and that there's no known cure for it. But with proper management, you can actually stave off a lot of infections. People aren't willing to focus on that. They're just looking at the part of it. And it's like, well, that's not the only thing that's scary about this, right? But it is the thing that they're like, yo, if you're mindful about whether or not you've been exposed, think you might be exposed, go to your ER, go to a healthcare facility, get yourself checked in, get yourself tested and treated, avoid other people. It's just like you do the same thing that they told our stupid asses to do with COVID, but just on a more stringent scale. Because there is no vaccine, because there is no regimented treatment, because there's no quote-unquote cure for this. You know what I mean? And the survivability rate, if you're infected with this, is tragic. Like, do everything you can to keep other people from getting sick, dickhead. Like, what's the fucking... But that's the message that the you know, World Health Organization and other, you know, international health organizations are putting out there. But then the media is trying to be like, everybody, there's a big hantavirus scare. Like, it's not, dude. I know that your corporate masters are telling you you have to sell this, but you don't have to sell this. This is one thing that doesn't need to sell. We've got enough real problems right now. This is the one thing you could leave alone. And pretty much every major news outlet is guilty of it. Jon Stewart and The Daily Show did a great piece on that too. And I noticed it because I was like, why do they keep asking this question? And then I saw Jon Stewart talk about it. I'm like, okay, so I'm not the only one. I'm seeing this thing too. All right, gotcha. Cool, cool, cool. We're going to scream and run about this, but can't get a clinical trial for like my stomach issues or some medical help for that shit. Which, by the way, this last week especially, something I ate. And I was thinking it might have been the meat, but it wasn't that because I ate it separately with just some rice and that was fine. One of the vegetables I think that I ate, or like maybe the wraps that I got, was fucking me up so bad. I was in such pain. So I threw out all the onions, which, I mean, told you about the onions. Like I said, they either sprout legs or they turn bad in within days. I threw away a bag of potatoes because they started making their weird juice. And if you've never smelled a spoiled potato, it'll put you off your game. If you've never smelled a rotten potato, I would challenge you to do this. Find a place where you're not going to have to smell it. Maybe a garage, you know, maybe like an outdoor closet or something like that. You know, you got like a shed or something like that. And put a potato in a container. You don't have to seal it. You know, just keep it from getting like, you know, the wind and the rain into it. Or, you know, or for reeking. Put it in a container and just leave it. Just leave it. If you want, when a potato goes bad, ooh, you will say some weird curse words when you finally have to pick it up and throw it out. It is horrifying. You better make sure you have a fan on for that shit because, wow, potato stank is unbelievable. But yeah, I got sidetracked here for a second, which is very not that hard to do. But yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. Like I said, I'm all over the place right now with this because there's so much stuff that's happened over the last couple of weeks, the last couple of days especially. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like I want to be more informed. At the same time, I'm also like, I'm fucking tired, dude. You know what I mean? Like with my stomach stuff that was messing me up. That's what I was getting at. Trying to make sure I keep track of what's been made when and how long it's been there and moving things out of the fridge, cleaning things up, eating leftovers so they don't go bad, repurposing stuff so it's actually cooked and ready to go. You know, and like not spoiling and wasting food because, you know, food ain't cheap. I saw this thing the other day where somebody's like, man, I must be really getting buff. I carried $100 in groceries with only one hand today. And it's sad because you really can. Like I did like a grocery shop just earlier. And like all the groceries I could have carried, they were in three small bags. That's how expensive everything has gotten. But again, you know, Trump's our guy, right? He's going to make America great again. Oh, boy. So where the fuck are all the jobs that have happened, though? you know, where's all this jobs creation? I saw CNN reporting on this, and I saw, and I know Fox News would definitely be reporting on it. A jobs report came out, and it's more favorable than we expected. I'm like, where are these jobs coming from then? Are you counting all the people that Disney fired? All the people that got fired from Spirit? The people that fired out of Trump's cabinet, you counting all those in the jobs that are created? Are you actually creating jobs, or are they just vacancies? You're not actually creating new jobs. You're saying we're now hiring because we fired so many people. Where's the greatness in that? You know what I mean? That's not job creation, fool. It's still the same one job that was there. It's just now we need somebody else to do it. Because everybody else is either too stupid, you know what I mean? If they're in Trump's cabinet, they're too stupid, too inept, or too unqualified to hold the position, or we found a way through whatever corporate restructuring and, you know, deregulation to bankrupt companies that would have been solvent, and then they had to lay off entire sections of their force, or we were totally doing fine, but we want to make more money, so we found ways to mechanize and computerize processes and outsource labor, so we don't have to pay American workers a decent living wage, so we can have 3 yachts instead of 2. What's the deal here? How's this making us great again? I was talking to some homies the other day, and I was like, you know, with this whole router ban thing, where you won't be able to use a router that isn't made in America. I'm like, who's going to be able to use the internet then? Because almost every one of them is not made in America. And if they're not made in America, almost all their components are made elsewhere. And then they're assembled here, but they're not made here. It's like, we don't make shit here. So the only thing we make here is like TikToks, like TikTok dances and videos of people ruining food. You know what I mean? That's all we create as a society, as American society. And it's depressing, actually. There were days when you could go and find a job. Like, it wouldn't take, it wouldn't take as long as it's taken for me to find a job, just because I'd be like, hey, I've worked construction, I've worked janitorial, you know, I've worked food service, I've worked security. I mean, I could do practically any, you know, entry level menial labor job. And they're like, we're just not hiring because we can't afford it. Word? This is how America's made great? Awesome. So glad that these idiots voted for him. And like, we think about the redistricting and the maps and stuff like that. One guy did actually point out something that I was curious about, and I wasn't sure. And I thought maybe this would be right. But then somebody was like, yeah, this is actually what happens. By gerrymandering all these districts to make them more, quote unquote, favorable for Republicans, what you've ultimately ended up doing is, while certain representatives would have been kind of only able to function in one particular district, like the one we're talking about in Tennessee that recently got eliminated in the Memphis area. Now what you've done is you made enough voters there pissed off and disenfranchised that now what they're going to do is they're going to spread their votes. Where they were only in one district, they're going to spread them through multiple different districts. And all the people who are already pissed off and disaffected at the, you know, mollycoddling behavior of their Republican representatives and senators, they're like, well, we don't vote for your funky ass. Like, we're going to vote for some independent guy. Maybe we'll vote Democrat. But since you split up the district, those Democratic votes would have only been able to work in that one district. Now, since you spread them out and made the district chopped up between 3 other, 4 other different places, now all those disaffected Republicans, maybe the more moderate liberals, like they're like not as far left as you might think, will be able to concentrate more of their votes in these traditionally red areas so they can turn them purple or even blue. Because more people are going to be like, well, I'm going to vote, but I'm not going to vote for this asshole. You know what I mean? Think about Georgia, where they sent ICE in to arrest a bunch of Korean workers at the Hyundai plant. Imagine the other Asian Americans that live there, just the other people that live there, and are going to be like, I'm not going to vote for this asshole. This is the one who helped push the ICE presence here in this area and got these people kicked out. So Hyundai doesn't want to work here. We lost more jobs that we could have had because of this one stupid policy that you guys want to continue to push. You've fucked our community, so I'm not voting for you. But now when you gerrymandered those districts out, you've actually spread you know, that disillusionment around a lot more. So now your Republican candidates are going to have to fight even harder to try to hold on to whatever majorities they had. And now certain places where they were running unchallenged, or they were running like largely presumably unchallenged because they figured they had enough of the vote covered. When those districts change and more voters, more Democratic voters are added to those roles, now you're on the risk of losing even more. And when that power shifts, and it eventually will, I hope that Democratic and independent voters decide to come together like butt cheeks and be like, hey man, we got to stop this from happening again. We're revamping laws. We're writing new amendments. We're codifying all this stuff into the Constitution so you can't take it away from us again, because fuck you, that's why. And then some of these people need to go to prison. Like, we need to actually have tribunals, and people need to go to, the axe needs to swing for some of these people. I mean that metaphorically, but you get what I'm saying, right? Some of these people have to be made an example of. And this, when they go low, we go high. No, when they go low, we hit them with a right hook and an uppercut. Fuck them. Because what happens is when they're allowed to just believe that they're, you know, there's no real ramifications for the tomfoolery that they've foisted upon all of us as people. All of us as people. I'm going to say that again. All of us as people. They continue to act with impunity. They'll continue to do whatever wicked shit they were doing in the first place because they feel like there's no actual repercussions for their actions. We have to make them accountable. However that has to happen, that has to happen, because it needs to strike, if it does nothing else, it needs to strike the fear into the hearts of people who would take those who would take those positions and who would affect these kinds of policies on their fellow man to be afraid enough of the majority. They go, I'm not going to try that. You know, I saw how it went for Representative so-and-so. That won't be me. You know, they need to be afraid of us because, again, we outnumber them. We, the people, outnumber the they by so much that if we actually just got our shit together and started to realize that the racism, one, is almost entirely a socioeconomic construct that's only pushed and predicated on the color of skin as a way of putting a visible marker to an amorphous concept, and by doing so, also pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. There's nothing about racism that is as damning as a concept of the fact that it preys upon ignorance and it preys upon bias to only make other people rich, and the poor people who are spouting this bullshit and spouting this rhetoric are just going to be in the same spot they were beforehand. Once we start to figure that out, we will be a lot better off as a country. I mean, there are places where you see it happening. I mean, obviously there's some pushback in certain states where they're pushing back against, you know, whether it's a gerrymandering map that they're like, we're not having this, whether it's an AI data center that they're like, we're not getting this built in our community. When they push certain politicians out of office because they're like, you can't represent us. We'll even point at Eric Swalwell too, because like I said, I've never seen anything that says that he's guilty. I know that people are saying that he did this, that, and the other. I don't have any evidence of that. And you know, my only supposition is maybe he did it because he quit. My thing is, if I'm not guilty, I'm not going nowhere. And they're like, well, he probably left to take some of the heat off of the Democratic Party. I'd be like, hey, fuck you. You know what I mean? I'm doing my job. I didn't do this. You want to find out what happened? Start an investigation and find out. But I'm not quitting just because somebody said some shit. I'm not going to quit on at that point, and I'm not sure what it is today, but at that point was tantamount to a playground rumor. Some he said, she said shit. I wouldn't expect anybody, no matter what stripe of politician, of political spectrum you're on, what side of that, you know, balance you're on, what side of that you're on. I wouldn't expect anybody to just roll up and walk away if they were innocent. To me, that just looks like guilty. That's what it says to me. You know what I mean? Like when Biden left office, I didn't think it was because, you know, he was doing, I think it was more, that was more noble than what Swalwell did. Let's put it that way. They were like, yeah, he's like, I am old. He's like, fuck it. I don't want to do this shit again. It's crazy. And if it's weakening the party, I'll leave. He's like, but I can't do this no more. He's like, I'm an octogenarian. There's no reason for me to be doing this anymore. Anyway, yeah, I'm rambling again, which is, like I said, that's what this podcast is, though. I didn't make any bones about it. It's literally in the description of the podcast. I like the fact that Sean Duffy is getting ripped over this TV series of him and his family going on a fucking road trip for 7 months. By the way, this whole road trip thing that they've been doing for the last 7 months was filmed while gas prices were going up. And he's the Secretary of Transportation. If anything, this would have been a perfect opportunity for Sean Duffy and company to, instead of like driven their fucking gas-guzzling SUV around, try to show how a family can afford to go someplace and maybe highlight, you know, whether it's public transit, rail systems, you know, ride sharing, shit like that. Maybe you could have promoted a solar-powered vehicle, solar-powered alternatives, hydrogen-powered alternatives. That would have been something I think a responsible Secretary of Transportation would probably do. Not Sean Duffy, though. Because, you know, remember, like we've already talked about this before, and it's been said ad nauseum, but Sean Duffy and his wife met through MTV. They were real world and Road Rules, you know, television personalities. So they met through MTV. You can't really expect them to be held to a higher intellectual standard than that, I guess. But you would hope, if you're going to be the Secretary of Transportation, I'm glad he's getting dragged over that, though, because fuck that guy, that's why. You know, while we're talking about TV, let's talk about some TV stuff. We've really talked about AI and how it's being overused and pushing a lot of creative people out of the way when it comes to crafting meaningful experiences in television and stuff like that. And one of the things I think it's killing the human element is humans. Obviously, because we're the ones who decide that we're going to use AI, right? But also, like, the way that we treat people in the public light when it comes to, you know, body dysmorphia, you know, body imaging, you know, weight and all that jazz. I've seen another one of the skinny celeb, super skinny celeb squad. That's what I'm going to call them. I know we talked about, I think we've talked about, oh my God, Cynthia Erivo from Wicked. I think it was her. I think it was it Demi Lovato? Somebody else. But I'll tell you one, the newest one that got me, I would have thought would have never been this, Demi Moore. I've seen photos of Demi Moore just recently. Like, this is in the last, like, 2 weeks. And I'm like, yo, she looks half dead. I don't want to put it as the thumbnail for this. I will challenge you to Google image search Demi Moore, April 2026. She looks like a skeleton. And it's really heartbreaking. I mean, just to see on a human being, you know what I mean? That they're so willing to risk their health and their life just for the idea of presenting some sort of image. It doesn't look good. I don't know who's telling them that it does, because it genuinely does not. She looks diseased. It doesn't even look, she doesn't even look like somebody who's emaciated because they've, you know, excuse me, you know, suffered, you know, maybe dealing with cancer or dealing with an eating disorder, although maybe a little bit of that. She actually looks diseased. Like, her skin looks sallow and waxy. Like she's a contracted something. And no matter what, it's just not a good look, period. Especially when you consider this used to be G.I. fucking Jane, man. If you ever watch that movie, she was, I mean, wow. She was shit hot in that movie. An absolute smoke show. And has always been. From the very first time she stepped onto stage and, you know, stepped onto the screen. She's always, I mean, I guess sex symbol might be a little bit on the nose, but yeah, I mean, she's always been a, an an idolized portrayal of feminine beauty in American cinema. Let's put it that way. Like, if you want to check out what a pretty white girl looked like in, like, that time period, it was, like, Demi Moore, Jennifer Connelly, Alicia Silverstone, like, in the, like, late 80s to early 90s. You know, these are the women you looked at, and you're like, yeah, damn, you get ugly just looking at them. Your face would screw up. You're like, ooh. I'll never forget when I saw her in G.I. Jane, and she's, like, training for, you know, her attempt at the Navy SEALs. I watched that movie so many times just so I could watch her work out. It was insane. And now she looks, I mean, she looks like she looks like at any moment she might actually die. It's actually really sad and really scary. And I think it's gross that we do that to people, particularly to women, but to people in general. You know what I mean? What you need to maintain your body's systems so that you can function. I'm not going to tell you that you should lose or gain weight, you know, just on the sake of purely aesthetics. You need to do what's going to make you healthy. My problem with this is it doesn't appear healthy at all. You know, when you have so little body fat, so little lean muscle mass that, like, I can see the veins wrapping around your joint knuckles and your bones, something's wrong. You have to take care of yourself. You have to be fit. Look, I'm 5'8". I weigh about 220 pounds. I know that I am technically and physically overweight. Like, that's just... Unless I played for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, I'm considered overweight. If anything, I could stand to lose and would love to lose at least 30 pounds before the end of this summer. Actually, before my birthday. I know it's going to take to get there. I know it's going to be a pain in the ass to get there. I'm doing smaller things along the way to do that. And I have lost a little bit of weight. I was at 225 to 226 just like a month and a half ago. So the weight loss is slow, but it's coming. But if I lost 60 pounds in the next month or so, 2 months, you guys would be asking questions. Anybody who knows me anyway, or anybody who's seen me, you'd be like, wow, you look gross. You know what I mean? Like, even when I was, you know, working out, basically, I wasn't working out, but I was doing physical labor every day, pretty much. And I was 220 pounds then when I first started doing, like, you know, trash work, you know, doing waste management and waste disposal. I lost 30 pounds. I lost 40 pounds in 2 months. I lost 30 pounds in the first month and a half. And then my weight stabilized, but I lost 40 fucking pounds. I was down to one, my lowest, I think, was back to like 176. And I mean, I was shredded. I mean, seriously. Like, what did Robert Downey Jr. say in Tropic Thunder? You shredded like a Julian salad, baby. I was ripped. I mean, I don't think for, I mean, there were times I wouldn't even wear a shirt just to go to the store just because I'm like, I look fucking good. But I had muscle on me. I wasn't like fucking 2% body fat. And for my height, you know, for my height, I can carry it really nice between 175 and 190. It looks good on me. If I got down to like 160, 150, you'd be like, yo, you need to eat something. You need to eat another person if you have to, but eat food. It's crazy that this super skinny celebrity thing is a thing. And I can't believe it got Demi Moore. Like, she was fine as frog hair. I remember seeing that she was looking kind of lean in that movie, The Substance. I couldn't watch it because I don't do body horror stuff. But I was just like, dude, this is gross. And I think that, like, one of the things that's killing us is that AI is able to super polish a lot of things when it comes to the imagery that's being presented. Our obsession with having to look a certain way, to be on television, to be in the spotlight is actually pretty gross and sick. I'm happy for people who are losing weight because it helps their overall health and their mental health and their physical, you know, mental and physical health. You know what I mean? Their overall heart health, you know, their spiritual well-being. That's always great. If you have to put on weight because you're like, I am way too skinny. I need to bulk up a little bit. I want to feel better. I want to look good in my clothes. I want to look good naked. I want to look good at the beach. I want to just look good when I look in the mirror and not hate what I see. Whatever it is that puts you to that, good. But when you're starting to risk your health, this stuff is dangerous, bro. That's one of the reasons why I hate seeing AI anything, because it does this to people. It warps our perceptions, not just of what we perceive to be real. You know, like when you're like, oh, this is a video of such and such. There's a commercial I just saw recently. I'm like, this is a very weird looking commercial. I'm like, oh, that's right. It has this plasticine look on it because it's AI generated. But now, you know, you're erasing the human element from this stuff. And then it skews our perceptions of what we should do in terms of creative space, but also how we perceive ourselves in terms of our own humanity and our own physicality even, which I think is highly dangerous. I mean, I've sung this song forever, and I know it's going to make people crazy to hear it, but I don't give a fuck. I'm going to keep saying it until somebody actually listens. And maybe one of you out there is listening right now. Maybe you'll share this with somebody who can actually do something about it. But if you do, great. If you don't, I just want you to know, it doesn't go any further than this if you don't send it any further than this. Now let's talk about some gaming stuff or some other fun stuff. There is a new Ghost in the Shell series coming soon. I'm gonna make sure the trailer goes into the dump. If you've never seen the original film Ghost in the Shell, I highly recommend that you do so. Even if you don't like anime, there's some very interesting questions. One, regarding the nature of existence, thought, and how AI and computerization work into that, the perception of the soul. This is actually kind of a hearkening back to Masamune Shirow's original Ghost in the Shell manga. And I mean, not just in terms of the story, but the look. It looks like it has been ripped from the pages of the manga in terms of its style, its pacing, its overall aesthetic. I'm super excited. And I'm not so dense as to not acknowledge that there's going to be instances where, you know, people are going to use computer modeling, computer rendering, and stuff like that. Yeah, that's an animation tool, but letting an actual robot generate and draw stuff for you is not fucking art. They've used hand-drawn animation in combination with other animation techniques to create an actual work of art. This looks fucking fantastic. If you've never seen the original Ghost in the Shell movie, go find it at like a local video store if they still exist. If you got like a secondhand store, find it on eBay or whatever. Buy a copy of the DVD. Go to, I think Manga was the original company in the US that released it for distribution. Find a copy of the movie and buy it and watch it. It's absolutely fantastic, incredible. It's so good. I want to say it was nominated for an Academy Award for animation. I could be wrong about that, but I mean, it's been nominated for and won multiple awards. And one of those awards was for its cinematography, the lighting technique that they used for this cell animation were pretty much exploratory to a certain degree, but revolutionary for their time. And they still hold up today. They still hold up today. So get a chance to watch the original Ghost in the Shell film. And then look for this Ghost in the Shell. Looks like it might actually be a series as opposed to just a standalone movie. I'm not sure. But I'll put the trailer in the link dump so you guys can take a look at that for this podcast. I'm sure you'll get a kick out of that one. And also, if you get a chance and if you like anime and if you like old school animation and old school looks, Fist of the North Star, Hokuto no Ken, is on Amazon Prime. Excuse me. I'm trying not to regurgitate at the fact that I'm asking you to watch a series on Amazon Prime. But it's a bloody good remake. It captures a lot of the original, it's almost like a cheese ball martial arts anime, but it's super bloody and gory, which, I mean, not for everybody, but it's very much in keeping with the original aesthetic of the original Fist of the Star films back in like the mid-80s, I think mid to early 80s, maybe even late 80s. But yeah, if you liked that film back in the day, you will love this one. There are some hinky bits of animation just because, of course, like they've been using this like 2.5D kind of approach almost to the character designs. Some of them look a little janky. I think it's, you know, again, it's another one of those things where you use 3D animation as opposed to using cell animation. And there can be a real disconnect when you try to use 3D animation to do a 2D rendering of something, sometimes it loses, there's a balance that it loses. I mean, like, you could have just drawn this part, you know what I mean? Or you could have just 3D animated this part, right? But still, all that said, it's actually a really interesting series. I like what I've been seeing so far. I'm pretty much caught up on the entire series as it is released as of the time of this recording. But yeah, it's actually, it's a pretty impactful series. It was seminal for me. Like, I remember watching this as a kid, and I think I was probably in like, I was probably like 12, 13 when I first saw Fist of the North Star. Maybe a little bit older. I want to say, probably like 13, 14. And I was hooked. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's super bizarre, but it's actually really fun. I think if you like anime, if you like martial arts action, this would be a great one to go back and take a look at. Again, some of the stuff that's old is being made new again. This might be one of the few times you'll hear me say that a remake is just as good as, if not maybe better than, the original. So if you like that kind of thing, this would be one to check out. As far as gaming goes, a couple little quick gripes. And then we have one fun thing to close it out. And then I forgot to do our email, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. Hacked, the streamer, is a game that's available, I believe, on... I know it's on Xbox. I believe it's also available on Steam or on PC, basically. This could be the kind of FMV video game like that Night Trap should have been. If you don't remember Night Trap, Night Trap was one of these full motion video games that was created back in like the, oh man, was it mid-80s, mid-late 80s? And you were basically in this house. There's weird zombie, vampire, alien kind of things that were attacking these kids who were having a sleepover. It was too corny and dumb to really be scary, but it did end up provoking enough controversy that there were Supreme Court hearings about it. And there were congressional hearings about it. Well, not Supreme Court. There were congressional hearings about it. And it's one of the other games that, alongside Mortal Kombat, helped spawn the Electronic Soft Board Ratings Bureau, more commonly known as the ESRB. When you look at a video game, you see that big box with the big white box with the black letter in it. It says, you know, rated E for everyone or rated M for mature. These games helped pave the way for that because there was no rating system back then to tell people, hey, you shouldn't buy this for your 8-year-old, you know? But yeah, that's this Hack the Streamer is it put chills into me, and I only played the demo version. Haven't played the full version. I've considered buying it. I'm not sure if I actually will. But essentially, you play as this streamer named Pinkie Pie, and while she's doing a stream where she's celebrating the fact that she got a sponsorship, she's contacted by somebody who is basically blackmailing her and saying that they'll expose her for certain lascivious pictures if she doesn't do X, Y, or Z for them. And there's a pool of suspects. You got to kind of, it's like a whodunit, but it's very relevant in the computer age, especially with the proliferation of game streaming. And then also you think about how many people are constantly on apps, you know, sending selfies of this, Snapchatting that, Instagramming this, Telegramming that, hitting this Discord for blah, 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 blah. It's like there's so many implications for how people should conduct themselves when it comes to their more private and personal moments and the data they share and with whom they share it, as well as the online gaming community at large and the ways in which that gaming community can actually either be incredibly positive or incredibly toxic and dangerous. It sounds like it's going to be a real experience, one, but also full of lessons to be learned. So I'm going to keep an eye on that one. If I get to play more of it, you'll see me on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. If I didn't put it on my wish list, I might see if I got the funds to it and buy it. Money's tight as fuck right now, but you know, you guys listening to the podcast and sharing the podcast and stream really helps. So thank you for that. But yeah, I'm going to look at that one. I think I would play some more of that if you're interested in that kind of concept. And especially if you've ever played a full motion video game as of late, this one looks like a really, really good one. I enjoyed it. I think you will too. That said, I am pissed off at Xbox still. I mean, I'm not throwing away my Xbox. I'm bad at Xbox as a company, not my Xbox as a console itself. So they stole Games with Gold from us. If you had games that you got or gifted through Games with Gold back in the day, you don't have them anymore if you don't sign up for Xbox Game Pass. That was never part of the contract originally, and they fucked us with that. So they stole them from gamers. So they're pulling a Crunchyroll right now. And now, you can't even use cloud gaming. I didn't realize that. Like, I'm paying for internet. Just because I don't have Game Pass doesn't mean that, like, if I own a game and it's available to play with cloud gaming, I own a game called Ball X Pit. I enjoy it. I love it. I play it on my Xbox Series X all the time. However, it's available to play with cloud gaming. Ooh, neat. Neato's Neato Burrito. Let's go try it. I upload it to the Xbox One that we have in our living room, which is probably a mistake. But it says it's available with cloud gaming, so why not? I own this content. I should be able to play it. They go, you can't access cloud gaming if you don't have Game Pass. I'm like, why the fuck would I want to do that? I'm really overpaying more to play the games that I've already purchased. I didn't just get this through Game Pass. I bought Ball X Pit. I wanted to support Devolver Digital and Johnny Sun and Friends because I really believe that this is an actually fun game. And they put some new content into it that I was like, oh, I got this for the price of paying for it? Fuck yeah, I'm down for this. And the Xbox is trying to make it hard for me to do that, trying to play it. It makes me want to bite. You know what I mean? It makes me want to bite. It makes me want to fight. And I hate feeling that way about something that I enjoy, like a hobby, such as gaming. Like it makes me gets to the point where like I get depressed when I turn on my video gaming console. That's sad. It's hard enough that life is hard and everything seems to be, you know, spiraling out of control. You know, the country's circling the drain. And then the one time you feel like you can enjoy something, they're like, gotta give us more money. I'm like, motherfucker. And that's one of the reasons why I say this. And I'm going to put this to you. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I say that digital versions of games should never, and I mean never, cost $80. Period. If you're making a digital version of a game, it stays at a $60 price point. If you're making a physical version of the game, and it actually has the game, has to have the game on the disc, and if you're going to do that, you're going to add some shit, you can charge more than $60. Oh, we're going to add, you know, like maybe a digital soundtrack if you buy the physical version. Maybe there's a statuette. We're going to do that for the super deluxe fuckity-fuck edition. That's going to be $225. Stupid to me, but fuck it. Whatever. You ball, right? That's your thing? Go for it. But you can't charge me $80 for a fucking video game that's going to be downloaded to a hard drive. And then, that's not happening to me. This can't continue to be the thing. We have to stop doing this. And I don't know what it's going to take for people to finally get it. I mean, we've seen enough game studios over the last couple of years, especially, close their doors, sell off their properties, fire their staff. Bungie does it, seems like, every week. How anybody's still working at Bungie, I don't know, with how often they seem to be firing hundreds to sometimes thousands of people. Like, they must have been employing an entire state's worth of people for them to be able to fire as many people as frequently as they do and still keep the doors open. I don't know how they're doing it. But yeah, we had to fight back somehow. I mean, you got to fight with your wallet. You know what I mean? I'm not going to tell you to throw away your console. I'm not going to tell you to not play the games you've already paid for, but don't give them no extra money. Please. We got to hold them accountable at some point. Something has to give. There needs to be accountability somewhere along the way. And in that regard, we're going to do some, this is my version of good news. We're going to do two stories that I think are amazing. And they make me laugh because it means that there's still some accountability somewhere in the human species. One of them is about this kid named Johnny Somali. Now, I never really heard of this dude until recently. And I'm glad I hadn't. But there's a reason why I've heard about him recently. He's an American YouTuber and, as they say, self-proclaimed internet troll who pissed off South Koreans by kissing a statue that was honoring the comfort, I think what do they call them? Ladies of Comfort. It was basically comfort women. They were sex slaves during during Japanese occupation of South Korea, is what I said. Yeah, and the statue was honoring their, was basically honoring them and trying to uplift them and, you know, put highlight their story when they were forced into sex slavery by Japan. And he's just over there making out with it or kissing it or whatever. And they're like, dude, no. He also was accused of doing some sexually provocative deepfake videos. And the Seoul Western District Court was like, no, no. He's been barred from leaving South Korea since he was indicted in 2024. So his ass is there. They're holding on to his ass. Now he's been arrested and he's been charged and he's going to jail. excuse me. But apparently people just be kicking this dude's ass. So it might be better for him to go to jail. he finally confessed all the charges in March of last year. And now, as of recently, he's going to jail. He said he was wearing, reportedly wore a MAGA hat into the court there. And, where is this? Let me try to see if I can find this thing. While he was on trial last year, he tried to enter the courtroom wearing a MAGA hat. But he was stopped from wearing it. And during that incident, he said that Korea is a vassal state of the United States. And people didn't like that. People didn't like that at all. After that, he was seen holding a Japanese rising sun flag, viewed in Korea as the symbol of Japanese imperialism, and making remarks that said that Japan should reoccupy Korea, and proclaimed that Dokdo belongs to Japan, in reference to disputed islands that both countries claim as their own. Yeah, he's just all around internet troll and dickhead, and now he's going to jail, and fuck him, that's why. 6 months in jail is not enough. He was supposed to get more, but his mom asked for leniency. And they're like, in light of the fact that he didn't do any actual appreciable physical harm to anybody, he's just a dickhead who runs his mouth a lot. We can't really find any more cause to hold him longer than we legally can, but we want to. They were like, we're only not putting you in jail for longer just because we can't find a legal way for us to do it. But if we could, your ass would be here. So fuck this guy, fuck Johnny Somali, and take. I hope they find more reasons to keep him in jail. Screw him. And in some absolutely delightful fuck around and find out news, some of you may have seen this story, some of you may not have. But Jesus, this is what an asshole. I just don't understand who we are as human beings. So. excuse me. Sorry, I was trying to pause, but I choked, and I'm like, if I choke and die on this podcast, somebody needs to hear it. Some of you may have seen this video of some jackass who went to go vacation in Hawaii and was seen throwing a large rock at a monk seal, which is an endangered seal species, off the coast of Hawaii. Let's see. Front Street of Lahaina is illegal to harm, harass, or touch an endangered animal under federal and state laws. So the Maui County Major Richard Bisson said the monk seal known as Lani has a federal tracker and has been known by the community for about 7 years. So this is like their seal. And this dickhead threw a rock that was about the size of a soccer ball at this seal. It almost hit it in the head. When he did so, however, locals ran up on that ass and they beat the shit out of him. Then he got arrested, and now the investigation is being turned over to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, and they're taking lead on the case. They're pressing federal charges. Not only was he facing state charges for this attack, but like now this dude's going up the river. Let's put it that way. He's gonna go up the river, or at the very least, he's gonna be bankrupt. God, I need to see if they'll show that. This one doesn't have the actual link to the thing, but oh my God, when you see him throw this rock, you're like, "There's no way he's not gonna do." He really did that shit. He really threw a rock at this dude at this poor seal. Now, what happened is, after that, like I said, he got his ass beat. And so the Senator Brenton Awa commended the man who did the ass whooping and called him the ambassador of Aloha. And so he's like, they're not really going to put him out there. They're not going to make the dude famous. They're trying to keep him anonymous. He's like, I do want to say from our caucus, we deal with this all the time when people of this mentality coming in, destroying our stuff, in this case, animals. We'd like the airlines to play this video on all flights incoming so that people don't do this type of stuff on a regular basis. Basically, he's saying, hey, you fuck around here, you're going to find out. I don't know if you've ever been surrounded by a bunch of Hawaiians, especially anybody who's like literally if they're Pacific Islander descent, they not small people. they pretty big. And they catch a hold of one of you howlies out there doing some wild shit, they're going to put the tips on you, and they beat this dude's ass. I'm going to put this into the link dump so you guys can take a look at that video as well. If you haven't seen it, I hope I can find the right one. If I can find the right one, you guys are going to love it. Like, they went to kicking his ass. And I'm actually really happy about it. I don't feel bad about this at all. I don't feel bad for the guy who did it either. But he's facing up to like $50,000 in fines. But he also got that ass beat. And now he's looking at federal charges for harming an endangered animal. I don't know what the actual charges would be, but I don't want to find out. Not firsthand anyway. I'll look it up online all day long, but you ain't about to send me to jail. Nope. I'm glad that this dude's going to get some. But, I mean, that's going to do it for today. Those are two instances where we got a little bit of accountability, got some get back just as humanity, because it's got to happen sooner or later, right? I'm going to wrap it for today. Thank you all very much for another great episode of the Wandering One podcast. You know the deal. You want to, you know what? Email. That's right. We had to check the email.
Email.
You know what? Where is it? I know I saw one. Hold on 1 second. Bruh, I'm pissed now. It was just an update for the Patreon app showing me an old notification for an email I'd already read. Ah, I was so excited. I wanted to read an email for everyone today. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Well, hopefully next week somebody will write in and then I'll be able to read one. I'm going to make sure I update and check that Patreon app sooner before I get on the damn podcast and start talking shit. Anyway, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. Thanks for checking in. Check out the stream. I'm going to be streaming today and also probably Friday, maybe even Thursday after I get my podcast recordings done. So now today being Wednesday, so today, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, do some streamy stuff. Have some fun, talk some shit, you know what I mean? But I wish you guys all a wonderful rest of your week. For you Patreon supporters, thank you. Keep your ears peeled. You should be seeing those drop sometime in the next like couple of days. By Saturday, hopefully at the very latest, it'll be Sunday. I don't know how long they author when it takes to Patreon. Usually it's almost immediately. So let's keep our eyes out for that. Like and subscribe, share if you can, rate, review, all that jazz. I would love to see these numbers trend up, but I'd love it more because then I can do something that doesn't put ads on the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, and if I'm going to get ads, at least I can say like, hey, these are the ones that I want. Who knows? Maybe I get a sponsorship. We don't have to worry about ads at all. How about that shit? Anyway, I'm Link IV, Link Flores, from Wandering One Studios. This has been a Wandering One podcast. You guys have been amazing for sticking around for this long. Good Lord. Bless y'all hearts. And drink some water, wear some sunscreen, go touch some grass, maybe smoke a little grass. And I'll catch you guys a little further on down the road. Peace.